Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome everyone to episode 278 of the Azure Podcast. Cynthia and I are actually live at Microsoft Build 2019. Yeah, very exciting. And for those of you who don't know, about 6,000 people from around the world are gathered in Seattle this week for Microsoft Build Conference, and it is our premier developer conference. The event this year is really focused on empowering developers of all kinds, from experienced computer scientists to even tech beginners with really big ideas.
And I think something really interesting about this year is that a lot of the attendees have the opportunity to bring a student with them. Plus, they also get a nice gift for attending the conference.
Yeah, they announced that they were getting Surface Goes, which I'm jealous.
I know.
I wish I was back in college.
I wish I was a student right
now. I know. Well, that is one of the incredible things, is I feel like Azure really is becoming something that even new young people that are in, new to the tech space can get involved in, which is exciting because I didn't know, I knew nothing about the cloud until college.
Same.
Or Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. That was a cloud I knew about.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited today to introduce two of our special guests. We'll be doing a series of episodes throughout the week, but right now we have with us Byron Tardif and Natasha Verma, and they are actually going to talk to us about Azure App Services in general and some really exciting updates that we have coming out of Build. So we'll let them introduce themselves. So Byron, if you want to kind of take it away, and then we'll have Natasha introduce herself as well.
Sounds good. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me in the show. My name is Byron Tardif. I'm a PM with the Azure App Services team. I've been in this team for about 8 years. And I've done several things along the way. I worked on deployments, so how do we get the service into the cloud so that people can actually use it? I worked on monitoring, so how do we get the information about the app so that you can tell what's going on with your app? And most recently, I've been focusing on UX. So I own all of the UI for App Service and Azure Functions. And Natasha is kind of like my partner in crime on the dev side for that. She's the dev manager.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all work together well.
Yeah. We do a lot. Yes, we work a lot.
We work a lot together.
Yes. Jeez, I've worked with all of your 8 years in App Service.
Wow.
That's awesome.
For those of you that don't know what App Service is the platform as a service offering from Microsoft. And just to put this into context, we're about the third most used service. So everybody uses storage. Everybody uses some sort of compute. And then App Service is the next one. We manage over, what is it now, about a million VMs?
A million VMs.
In the cloud.
A million VMs.
Yes.
1 trillion hits a month.
Right.
Are served by our platform.
I don't even know how many zeros that is.
More than I can think of in my head without writing it out.
And we basically, build a UI for it, and we are shipping every 2 weeks. So there's always something new, something fresh, and fixing bugs and issues that we find along the way.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
I think, Byron, you've introduced me plenty. My name is Natasha. I'm an engineer on App Services team. And as Byron was introducing himself, I realized I have been with this team from the very beginning and have done many, many, many things. I will not bore you with the details. But most recent stint, yes, we get to work on UI together. My team also does PowerShell and command line, CLI. An App Service Migration Assistant is our new foray into helping customers migrate their on-premise applications on the cloud.
Something that nobody's talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yes. How do I get my applications into the cloud?
I mean,
fundamentally, the biggest question to get people into Azure is, how do I do this? And that can be a challenging question, very nuanced, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So making, very exciting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I know Cynthia and I, we were walking around the Build floor today, and when we heard about this service, which is actually new to both of us, we were like, man, this could be really, really exciting to tell our listeners about. So before we jump in, before we get into the migration assistant, why don't we talk a little bit about just some of the general exciting news coming out of Build for Azure App Service?
Of course. So probably one of the most visible things is we have a new create experience. that goes into a full screen experience. This streamlines your selection so that it was already easy to make web apps. Now it's even easier. And it also gives us room to grow. So if we eventually want to add other stuff so that when you create your app, you're fully created into a VNet or something like that, we have that room to do that. So I think one of the things to note is that that's there today, but it's going to grow in the future. The other announcements that came out from the service-wise is we have a free offer on Linux. We used to have only paid offers, but now we have a free offer that is equivalent to what we have in Windows. So this is an offer where you can go create a free app, and it's going to be perpetually free.
Free?
Yeah, free.
Wait,
as in...
but there's no such thing as free, right? Isn't that what we say?
What is the
catch? Is it really free?
Yeah, yeah, free as in free beer.
What?
Wow.
So
cheers. I wish we had some. Yeah, I wish we had beer to cheers to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just coffee today. But the way this works is there's obviously some limits. So you're limited to a certain amount of memory, certain amount of bandwidth that you can use every day, but that quota resets over time. So it's good if you're trying to discover what the service is about, kick your tires, get a good idea of the features that we have built around it. We always talk about App Service being your fastest on-ramp to the cloud, because if you're a web developer today, you can use App Service, use the stuff that you know, and we make it very easy for you to transition. The next one is features that are probably for more advanced users, and we're talking about VNet integration. We have a supported preview for Windows, and we were announcing the preview for Linux. So before, if you wanted VNet integration, you could only do it on Windows-based apps. Now you can do it on Linux as well.
That's awesome. So I'm personally not a developer, even though I went to school for that, and I get to touch Azure Web Apps. And how does Azure App Services actually work, because I feel like I'm just deploying code and then it works.
Right.
Like, what is the magic in between?
What is happening?
Yeah, what is happening?
I think that's an indication that we're doing our job right. The way to think about App Service is you have your web app, and that represents your code, configuration, content. And then you have your App Service your App Service plan. And that represents the actual physical location where your app is going to be, like what data center is going to be, how big of a machine you need, small, medium, large, and how many instances. And the fact that those two are abstracted from each other make it so that you can put actually a bunch of apps to share an app service plan, right? And you're only paying for the app service plan. You're not paying for the apps. So if you're a developer trying something out and you want to write a Node app and a .NET app and a Python app and have them all share the same infrastructure, it makes it very cheap, very easy to do. If you're more of a serious house, then you can have an app service plan that maybe is scaled out to 20 instances and is using large instances, and you're paying for that. Another cool feature is autoscale. So if you know that, you know, 9 to 6 is when you're going to have traffic, and, you know, 9 to 6 on the other side of the clock, you're going to be, you know, not having a lot of traffic. You can save money by making your app scale up and down. And behind the scenes, what we're doing is we have a footprint of VMs that are specialized with, you know, the secret sauce that is App Service. And they're just ready for receiving your requests. So whenever we know that your app is going to get a request, we make sure that it's hydrated in a VM that will be dedicated to that app if you're in the right tiers, and requests just get routed. You don't have to configure a load balancer. If you're going beyond one machine, we take care of all of that for you. And because we know that the things that people want to do is, you know, not have to update the OS, not have to update the stack, we take care of that for you without you experiencing any downtime because of that.
So with this VNet feature, what is that born out of? You know, what was the customer scenario where they said, hey, we really need this additional feature from a networking perspective? I'm not a big networking person, so I assume maybe there's some stipulation that's like, hey, I want this in my own virtual network, and before that wasn't possible.
Yeah, exactly. So there's several different scenarios. One of them is when you want to bridge on-premise resources to the cloud. So for example, there are certain sets of databases or certain sets of data that for compliance reasons or for business reasons, you probably cannot move to the cloud. So there's always going to be a scenario where your app is going to have to reach into your on-premise deployments and talk to that and have some sort of connection. The way that is done is you can do what we call a hybrid connection, where you install an agent on the particular machine that you want to talk to, but that makes it very point-to-point, and the bandwidth is limited. With the VNet is you're basically extending the network from on-premise into the cloud, and it's basically the full bandwidth of your link. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is if you're, let's say you're fully cloud, but you still only want applications to talk through the internal networking without going through the internet. In those cases, that's where the VNet basically comes in. And one of the new features that I still haven't mentioned is the service endpoints. Service endpoints basically lets you lock down that VNet so that only applications that are in the VNet can talk to each other.
Mm. Wonderful, yeah. So before this whole VNet scenario wasn't really possible, did you have to be pretty much cloud native all the way in order to use app service?
Correct.
Okay, wow.
And even when you were talking across services on Azure, you would have to go through the cloud
wow.
in order to talk to a database, right?
So this is a big thing, you know? I'm seeing all the possibilities in my mind, but now that it's laid out that way, wow, I can see how valuable this is going to be to so many customers.
And I think that perfectly segues us into how do we get there with this new Azure App Service Migration Assistant now with all the great features that Byron was just talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we claim we have three scenarios, right? Technically, the goal is migrate people to the cloud. They all don't have to use App Service Migration Assistant. We have three possible options for them. If they have a source code already and a repository of some kind, they can actually come create a new app service using our swanky new full-screen creates and use Deployment Center feature to actually configure their source repository to directly establish a continuous integration and deployment pipeline with app service. So for example, if you have a GitHub repo somewhere, you can configure your application to pick up code from that GitHub repo and deploy code through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one way to quote unquote migrate your code to app service.
Mm.
And then have incremental updates going. So you make changes to GitHub repo, it automatically gets deployed, and voila, it's available for runtime for use.
So hashtag DevOps.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag CICD.
You did it. The second scenario is, let's say you're a Linux shop and you have some code running on your application, on your VM, you could containerize, which is to say, create a Docker image or an ECR image for your application and deploy that container to either Docker Hub or Azure Container Registry and then create a new swanky Linux app from containers and use one of these images to basically hydrate your VM with the right requirements you need for your application and your application code itself. And voila, you have your Linux on-prem machine now migrated as a container running on Azure App Service, Linux container. So that's another potential story. Developers especially like these two a lot because they are like, I usually know where my code is and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know your code, these are two potential ways for you to bring it to app service without having to worry too much about getting started because quick creates are very, very quick. The third scenario is where App Service Migration Assistant comes in. We are pitching it as a lift and shift scenario. So for example, if you have some apps and you have no idea about them because they were written a long time ago, or the developers have left, or it's possibly on machines you haven't looked at in a while.
Under the desk.
Under the desk, under some desk of somebody else who's not been around, or just some lab. So App Service Migration Assistant lets you run it, you install it on the machine of where your IIS server is, and we will quickly assess what we see on the server. And then we further, when you pick a site that you want to consider for migration, we run these set of rules, what we call readiness checks. We are basically scanning through your content and config to see, is this app something I can just lift and shift into Azure App Service and have it work? And if we can, this assistant lets you just do it in a few clicks.
So they can do it without knowing where the code is?
They can do it without knowing much about the code. Just point us to the server And if we are able to figure out the application and all its dependencies as lift and shift ready, we will serialize it for you, push it out to app service, deploy, and done. We will even discover if you have a database.
Wow.
And
wow.
If you have a SQL database, you have two choices. You can either leave the database on-premise mm-hmm. because you don't know what your references might be for the database, or you're nervous whether your data
privacy,
can actually...
compliance.
Exactly, all of that. Or you're just testing the waters. So you can use the hybrid connection service, which we do onboard in Assistant itself. And you can leave your data behind, bring your site over, make sure it works, and then consider moving your database, or not. But you can consider moving your database using a database migration assistant.
So one of the reasons I love this is because, yes, containerization is awesome. Yes, app rewrites are awesome and modernizing your application. Mm-hmm. But certain applications, just the business value isn't there.
Yes.
To go and invest to rewrite an application that's, you know, old, not really, it's serving a small set of users, whatever that is. I think this is the perfect solution for those things because you still depend on them. You still need them. But to put the heavy investment in to, you know, make them modern isn't necessarily warranted.
And sometimes they don't even know what the apps are doing,
yes.
but they know that they need it
yes.
because they know that things don't work when they don't have it.
Right.
And they don't know who wrote it. They're yep. long gone. But then there's this piece of application just they're running that they know they need to maintain, but it's really just a pain.
Yep.
And this is absolutely perfect for that scenario, it sounds
yep.
like. And you just need to know which server you're looking at.
Wow. That's correct.
Right.
And then take
care
of the rest
of it. Just plop us in an IS server and we'll take it from there. Actually, line of business apps are doing well with this tool so far because they are exactly candidates for people not wanting to push too much investment and just move them over.
Yeah, absolutely. So this does provide a good opportunity, though, to talk a little bit about the container story, because I know a lot of people, it's like Kubernetes, all of these, you know, orchestration tactics, moving to Docker, containers. That's really exciting. And I'm definitely really involved in this space right now. Mm-hmm. But I also know there's a story there for using web apps in order to work with containers. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Linux. I believe there is potentially a Windows preview. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Or
we have a Windows-based container preview. And on the Linux side, we support like a simple Docker image and also Docker Compose.
So I could have multiple services running in different containers that are all running in one app service plan.
That's using kind of Docker Compose.
Using Docker Compose. Awesome. So is there, can you help our listeners who may be new to the container space understand when would I need maybe a full-blown orchestrator, something like Kubernetes, versus I just want to go with something like an app service?
Mm-hmm. It really depends on the application and how complex and how easy it is to separate the app into different pieces. If you're really going into microservices architecture, you probably want to look at something like functions, because there you can really get micro with your services. Then the next level up would be doing something orchestration where you have, let's say, a piece of code that knows how to do some ML stuff, and you want that to be really close to the UI that you're going to use it, and maybe there's a backing database, and you want all of that to be kind of like managed as a single unit. That's where Kubernetes comes in handy. If basically going a little bit more into the spectrum of just a simple app, you can get into Docker Compose, where you might still have multiple pieces, but you know you're still kind of like defining them with configuration and deploying them into the same hardware. And then finally, you go into the single Docker image where it's just one app that could be one of these Dockerized apps that God knows what it's doing. But you just want it all in a manageable unit that gets deployed. So it's about the lifecycle and about the complexity of the app.
So just one last question on that. How does scaling work? You know, for example, in something like Kubernetes, I can say, oh, I want, you know, a certain number of instances of this container running.
Right.
In web app, it's running on one piece of hardware, right? So is it when you do scaling, are you actually scaling up? Are you scaling out on one machine? You know, what does that look like?
So remember at the beginning of the episode, we mentioned that scale factor is defined by the app service plan.
Yes.
So you can actually do both.
Okay.
You can go to a bigger machine, which is the scale-up scenario. Or you can scale out. In that case, you get multiple instances, and in each instance, you would have an instance of the container or an instance of your Docker Compose defined architecture. So it's not like you don't get that flexibility that you would get with Kubernetes, where you can say, I want my Redis cluster to be in 8 pods and my web front end to be in only one. but you get a horizontal scale that's symmetrical.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So it's typically like if I use Docker Compose and had just a web app and a web backend, and I said, oh, I want two underlying, you know, virtual machines, mm-hmm. it would run one of those containers of each on each of those.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. That's good to know. Well, Cynthia, do you have other questions?
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, these are all great, but what are some of the limitations or what are some things that customers need or listeners need to keep in mind when they're either using the Azure App Service or they're looking into the Azure App Service Migration Assistant?
I can go first. Yep. For Migration Assistant, at this time, we support ASP.NET apps on Windows only.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is not a statement forever. It's a point in time. We are looking to support more frameworks. We are looking to support Linux as well. But it's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one limitation. For now, we are an ASP.NET on Windows
Gotcha.
Shop.
Okay.
On App Service, the limitations are around we have a security sandbox. So if you're doing stuff where you're calling kernel APIs or you're doing GDI plus PDF generation, that type of stuff, you will get blocked by the sandbox. Another limitation is we don't let you RDP into the box, but there is very rich monitoring around it. So right now people are traditionally, oh, I have a VM, let me RDP into it and I'll mess with it and figure out what's wrong. That won't work on this scenario, but we do have a really good integration with App Insights. So if you need to do dependency analysis, you can find it there. We're very rich in terms of the monitoring and diagnostic tooling that we expose. There's a whole experience called Diagnose and Solve Problems that runs detectors on your application. And we have the experience of running this service for multiple years. So we know the type of failures, what shapes they take. So we're very good at telling you, hey, you have a memory leak, is in this particular thing, or you have a race condition, or you have a misconfigured connection string and stuff like that. So we make it very easy to debug. And if you really need to take a snapshot, we also give you the ability to take a snapshot, download it, run it on your debugger, and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so the snapshot debugger in Visual Studio is you can use that on app service, right? Yeah.
And then it doesn't stop the app. Like
yes,
the app keeps
come
running.
Down in production.
Well, that's remote debugging.
But the snapshot, like, the breakpoint doesn't actually break.
Right. It doesn't break production, but you can break it on your
and then you can still see,
local,
like,
yeah.
the variables yeah. at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was cool. talking about snapshot, I was more talking about taking a debugging snapshot where you basically download the dump.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Because you can do that from the Azure portal itself, right? You could actually go into the logs
and
download, and
generate
download
a dump.
That. Well, if I understand that you said you'll come out with updates on this pretty frequently, every 2 weeks?
Every two weeks, there's a UI deployment. That's our cadence, yeah.
So do you all have a roadmap that customers can leverage to see what's up and coming? Or is there anything, I mean, to be fair, we're at Build, so a lot of updates have come out. So I don't want to, try to, what is it when you have like nothing left in the ketchup bottle and you just like keep pushing it for more? But is there anything on the horizon that you can tell us, like things that are, maybe in the backlog that you're going to be working on?
So we've moved to a new model as far as developing UI features. And what we're trying to do is we're putting features in preview relatively early, and you see them in the menu, and they're labeled preview.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're leveraging a lot of the feedback of people that actually choose to use these preview features. If you're familiar with the little smile on the Azure portal.
Give me feedback.
Every day we get emails with the verbatim of what customers are saying. And we use that to help either find issues or improve features that are lacking in usability. So that is something that comes directly to us, and we get the good and the bad. So if you're frustrated with something, use that tool, and it's reaching the right persons. So what I can say is we've been working on the UI, and you can basically see our progress. We're going down the list of items in the menu, refreshing it, making sure everything is like the standards of what the UI looks like have changed through the years in the Azure portal, and we're basically making sure that all of the features are lining up. As far as roadmap goes, I don't know. I have some things in mind, but I don't know how deep I can go into that.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait and watch on that. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
But we definitely have some exciting updates coming, and there's a new conference coming up in a couple of months. So
we're very excited about the work that's coming to us and hopefully translates to some fun capabilities for customers.
I haven't personally done this, but is there like plans to also update the UI for mobile experience?
So there's a whole team, which is the Mobile App Center.
Uh-huh.
And I know they're working on some features that are still to be released.
Okay.
So I think mobile center people would be the best person to answer that.
Well, I feel really lucky that we got the third most popular service
and
the two coolest people on that team to come tell us about all these updates.
It's awesome. And I'm definitely going to talk to my customers about these things that the migration assistant
100%.
Is perfect.
Oh, so awesome.
I know.
Thank you all both so much for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. And if you do want to drop any show notes, just links that might provide additional insight into how customers can get started with these services, we'll make sure that we include those in the show notes as we post this.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of Build.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.